Welcome back to the Reside Platform Podcast. Copycat lawsuits. Here they come. In fact, this is the mother of all commission suits was just filed. If you haven't seen our last episode, a couple episodes again, we did one on the NAR lawsuit. Check it out. I'm here with Preston Guyton, owner of Palms Realty, co-founder of Reside Platform. And we're going to be talking about this new lawsuit. And it's probably not the last one we talk about. And we're also going to be talking about potential rule changes you're going to see in your state, your province. We're going to talk about the impact of this in the overall real estate industry. And we're going to talk about what you should be doing as an agent and a leader of your team and your brokerage, so you're ahead of it and take advantage of the disruption. Preston.
What's up, buddy? Good morning.
Yeah. What's up, man? Well, you know, we saw this coming.
We talked about it last week. I think I said that, you know, I actually was talking about the buyer side. You know, and although the last one was on seller, one of the things I talked about was, you know, the copycat lawsuits are going to come, especially once one is settled. And although it's not paid or anything, it'll be, you know, appealed, they're going to come. And a couple of days later, I think this one was filed with November 2nd, November 3rd.
Yeah, this was amended. And, you know, this was actually originally filed in 2021. So this has been around, but it just hasn't been. There hasn't been a spotlight on it. And now that you've had a lawsuit been awarded, now they're like bringing this one back up, saying, okay, now we have a precedence. We have an opening to get money.
Yeah.
And this one,
the mother of, they say that because if you read the details, It is buyers that have bought after 1996 until present day. So all buyers through the MLS since 1996, I don't even know how much is that going to be?
Yeah, it's, we talked about it last night. You called me and it was like trillions. I mean, so here's the thing. These are listed properties on the NAR MLS, right? So I don't know if people understand this. I didn't exactly as a broker owner, team leader, agent. There's multiple listing services. Some are privately owned. Some are ran by the NAR, National Association of Realtors. And the NAR had a rule that if you were to be, not only if you were a realtor, you had to be a realtor to be part of the MLS. That was a rule for a long time. I don't know about your area, Preston, right? They changed that, I don't know, a while ago where you could opt in or opt out. But if your brokerage was part of the Realtor Association, you had to join. Like, you couldn't just have one agent join the NAR, the MLS. Everyone had to join, even if they lived 100 miles away. And so that kind of is like, well, you're forcing people into it, number one. Now you're forcing them into a rule, and the rule stated that if you list a property, which you got to list them all, you can't have off-market necessarily, you have to offer compensation. And so they're going after this rule, that this policy that said you have to offer something. And they're saying that's antitrust. They got to.
I mean, you talk about the MLSs. I mean, our MLS, if you join, you have to join NAR. Like, it's, you can't join the MLS and say, okay, I'm not going to do that. You know, and I think all the MLSs I'm a part of, you know, through Easy Home Search, I think I'm part of 35. Every single one is the same way. So as a brokerage, you have to join NAR, which, you know, though you talk about, you know, rules that are changing at the MLS level, that's something that they're going to have to really think about. It's like, are you going to force people to join National Association of Realtors as a paying member?
Yeah. So, and there's a good reason they made that rule, right? The NAR wants more memberships. They're like they're a recurring revenue model. Every year you pay $600, $700, $800, right? And you get benefits for it. And so they want, you know, the NARs encourage, you know, it's kind of funny, they're incentivized to have as many agents as possible, right? So I was thinking about this the other day. The barrier to entry into real estate is very, very low.
Yeah.
In my state, it's 90 hours. Well, the NAR wants that to be as low as possible. Because then there's more agents, easier entries. I think what would change this a lot is raising the bar in order to enter the industry.
Yeah, I mean, ours is 60 hours.
60 hours. So, and you look at our, you know, at Reside platform, we work with a lot of people in Canada, right? A lot of teams, top brokerages there, and they have a higher barrier to entry, way higher. And their, and their commission rates are lower because of it. And it's kind of an interesting thing. Now, back to the lawsuit. So this is Batten 2, cooperating commission rules. What do we think is going to change? What rules do we think are going to change because of this?
You know, and you and I discussed this. I mean, South Carolina has had a buyer's agency agreement separate from the contract for as long as I can remember. I mean, they just updated it, I think, last year. You know, and they took out, because there used to be, you used to be able to just, it was a checkbox. They'd say, you know, you get paid based on whatever the MLS was. You know, that was, they took that out. I guess it was about a year ago. So, you know, and I didn't realize there were states that did not have a separate buyer's agency agreement. You know, and obviously in Reside, we have a lot of teams and a lot of companies, and some of them are the ones who shared it. And it's just, it's hard to believe that there are states that don't have that. So obviously, you know, that's the first thing. And then, you know, I think there's going to, you're, as a company or even as an agent, you're going to want to get something else signed, whether it's an addendum or something. It doesn't have to be an addendum, but something that, because you would sign it before, right? And
yeah.
I think you need to spell out how you're compensated and just make sure, because you want to have as much documentation showing that whoever the buyer is, they understand how you're being compensated and what that looks like. Because if something ever does arise, you want to have that documentation signed off on, because with the buyer's agency agreement, they can say, well, I didn't really understand it, I just signed it, right? So I think you want to have another maybe one-page document at the brokerage level that is just simple and says, you understand, you know, and just make it black and white, a couple sentences long or whatever, and just get that to be, you know, get that signed as well.
Yeah, and they're part of the lawsuit, they actually point out very specific states to, you know, like you said, to your surprise, that Washington State, where I operate, isn't part of it. You know, they weren't really named, because in our state, give you a little bit insight into this, is the Northwest MLS. That's privately owned. So it's not part of the NER. You are not required to be a realtor to join. And they've become the major MLS. And I think what you're going to see across North America is fewer and fewer smaller MLS. That regional MLS that's struggling to keep their doors open, keep their MLS in there. If they change the rule where you're not forced to put everyone in there, their membership dues are going to dwindle. I know this because I was part of many small MLS, you know, memberships, right? Like you at Easy Home Search. I've seen their profit and loss. They're on a razor thin line just to keep afloat.
Yeah.
They got like a half employee or one employee. And so if their membership base goes down 10%, they're going to have to go into join a giant MLS, whatever that regional MLS is, that bigger MLS, right? So, you know, I don't know where people are, where they live, so they know that. Now, the Northwest MLS, I want to point this out. So if you think about Seattle-based area, right? Seattle is Redfin, Zillow, Compass has a big place in there, right? So very tech-centric, team-based, you know, separation of duty model for real estate, right? Say disruptive, I don't know. But they are on the board of directors. They are advising the Northwest MLS. So Compass, in this article on Inman, actually, the Compass spokesperson, Devin Daly Huerta, told Inman, and actually points out that we'll respond accordingly to all the complaints filed against us at an appropriate time. That's what Compass said. And that the company feels confident and is well positioned. Compass pointed to a rule change or rule changes at the Northwest MLS, which I'm stating, that made the listing broker compensation to the buyer brokers optional and didn't result in any decrease of offers of compensation or amounts offered. Okay. So let me break this down, because I know I've experienced this. When this lawsuit originally happened, the Northwest MLS changed rules immediately, crossed 40,008 brokers in Washington State. no longer requiring buyer agent compensation. So the people out there that are freaking out, oh my gosh, now they can do zero. Everyone's going to do zero. And we're going to have to get the buyer to pay us. How are we going to get the buyer to pay us? Oh my gosh, I can't even get my agents to log on to the CRM. You know, I can't even get my agents to show up to training. Now I got to get them to negotiate commissions. Okay, everybody. The Northwest MLS, 40,000 brokers have been doing this for 2 years. I have not seen one listing at 0%. Not one.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about that the market is going to dictate the value of it, right? The value of what that compensation should be. And you've already seen it. It's not changed.
Yeah. So I want to point out a couple things. Technically, Preston, and I think you intuitively figured this out. On the listing agreement locally in Northwest MLS, remember Northwest MLS is ahead of this, they changed the listing agreement in which the commission isn't one total commission that is then shared or paid. You know how you have that co-oping, right? Okay, 6% comes in and then 3% goes to Preston if he brings a buyer, right? Okay, that's what they did is they changed it and said, okay, how much specifically, this percentage goes to the listing agent. This percentage goes to the buyer agent. So the seller's agreeing at the listing table how much they're paying the buyer agent. It's not like, oh, you didn't tell me you were going to give part of that away. That was the last lawsuit. The last lawsuit was like, hey, you didn't wait a second, listing agent. Why'd you give money to the buyer agent?
Yeah.
The listing agreement now says, hey, seller, you right here, it says you want to pay 2.5%, 3% to the buyer's agent.
Yeah.
Like you're incentivizing them to buy, you're paying them. You're not paying me, then I'm paying them. You're paying them directly. So that's way more transparent. It's essentially the same thing. It's just how does the terminology change?
Yeah, it's I think it's ridiculous, to be honest with you. But you know, if you agree for a compensation and then they complain because, oh yeah, I agreed to that compensation, but you paid somebody else. You know, it's like, but you think about it, like when you buy a product, you don't know who else is being paid, but, you know, would you freak out if you knew somebody else was getting paid for it? I mean, it's just.
Has anyone, you know, hired a financial advisor ever in their lives? You know, I would start studying other industries that are highly regulated and also have to be compliant and that handle money. Well, financial industry is. Financial advisors. Like when you go and hire a financial advisor, you have to sign lots of documents, right? And there has to be transparency in who's getting paid because they're not necessarily a fiduciary. Yep. Most financial advisors aren't even fiduciaries. They actually don't even have a legal responsibility for your best interest. So you're paying them 1%, 1.5% of your total portfolio, right? Maybe 2% broker fee. And then they might also be getting paid by mutual funds. So they get paid a little bit extra to buy. If they sell you this mutual fund, they might get, you know, the stock, you know, certain stock companies might pay you, you know, more money, right? They're getting paid on the both sides of the deal.
Yeah, they get paid by the broker too. Like if they have a big portfolio and they move it to a new broker, especially, you know, if they're an independent financial advisor.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when you look at the regulators, you know, they're going to want to protect the consumer. And so there's the transparency. This is where it goes to transparency. So these financial advisors, I mean, it's like a book you signed for them to manage your money, which is basically disclaimer, 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 disclaimer. I'm getting paid by a million different people, blah, 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 blah. People still sign it. They still do it. Right. So I think the real estate industry, it's just our listing agreement when I started real estate 15 years ago was one page. It's four pages now. It's four pages long. The listing agreement is four pages long. So what's going to change in the industry? Longer, more paperwork.
More paperwork. Yeah, you know, you think about it, though, even like the mortgage industry, obviously, it's a lot more regulated. But you got to think about the information they get. It needs to be more regulated. You know, we don't, as real estate professionals, you don't get Social Security numbers. You don't get banking information. It's like financial advisors. You don't get all of this information. You get a pre-approval or an approval from a pre-qual from a bank, but you don't get any information that, you know, outside of name and, you know, information, you don't get all those other details. I mean, I get definitely has to be more transparency, but we definitely don't, you don't get as much as an agent, as a real estate professional, as like a financial advisor gets, or, you know, even a mortgage professional gets. So.
Yeah, they call it, you know, the Northwest MLS called it decoupling of the commission. So instead of a total commission, it's decoupling. So as a broker or team leader, trainer, this is an opportunity where you get to articulate your value on the listing side to up the commission, right? You get to say, am I worth 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%, just for me to market your property. And then, okay, what does the market dictate on the buyer side? You know, how much do we have to throw out there, or the seller? How much does the seller have to put out there to attract a buyer? How much are they willing to do? You know, I don't think the consumer doesn't know that buyer's agent is paying Zillow 40% off the top. You know, that seller doesn't realize, you know, they think the buyer's getting all that commission. No, they're not getting all that commission. Yeah. Zillow wants 40%.
When did that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Consumers know that?
No, they have no idea.
I mean, yeah, how deep does this go?
Yeah, no, and it's like, well, I always look at the power structure a little bit. It's like, do you think Zillow wants the buyer agent commission to go down? No, because they either get it through ad spend or through a referral.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Zillow's looking at the commissions going, okay, we don't want that overall bucket to go down, because we're trying to extract as much out of the agent pocket as possible and still have them be profitable so they can do it again and again. So Zillow doesn't want you to fail, right? No way. They want you to live to see another day and pay them another month.
Another 40%.
Heck yeah. It's a great model, man. what other thoughts do you have on this, Preston? When it comes to the lawsuit, when it changes in the future, how do teams and agents adjust, or not at all?
No, I think definitely they do adjust. I think the level of professionalism is going to need to go up, and I think you're going to see a lot of people get out of the industry because of it. Because some people can't, you know, they struggle with that compensation piece. And we did something on a call earlier in the week with our team, and we asked them, you know, what is your job description? And there was like 80 blank faces. And I told them, I said, the one thing that you're going to need to do over the next couple of months as a buyer's agent, because you do it as a listing agent, but you need to have, what are those bullet points? What are those value adds? What are those things that you give when you explain as a buyer's agent how you're compensated? You know, you're going to need to be able to talk through that. It's not going to, because the public thinks you just open the door. You know what I mean? So there's all these things that you do. You need to have a clear understanding of why they should hire you and how you show your value, you know. So that's something that, because for so long, when that question was asked as a buyer's agent, they would say, hey, I just, you know, the listing side pays the commission. You don't pay anything, which anybody with, you know, thinks about it, well, you're buying the house, so it's this price and you got to cover this. Obviously you're paying it. But there's going to have to be real conversations up front and understanding. And then to get somebody, you know, to put somebody in your car to show property, even before you get to that point, this is something, because we require the, you know, the buyer's agency agreement signed to get paid the commission from the company. Mm-hmm. But how many agents do you think scramble after it's already closed to get that signed?
Oh, yeah.
See, but now it's not only about getting paid, it's about if an issue arises and there's a lawsuit implications, you know, they need to make sure that they get that signed, because going after the fact, and they could just say, well, you didn't make me sign this until after we closed, and I didn't understand how you were getting paid. So it's definitely, I think a lot of people you're going to see, I think I saw something earlier in the week. I was reading an article, and I think it said there, over the next 12 months, you're going to see between 100,000 and 200,000 real estate agents leave the business.
Yeah. And, at the franchise level, you know, the people named in these lawsuits, right? Every one of them are going to change their rules and the way what documents they require to get paid.
Yeah.
Right. So EXP, Remax, all these. Now, okay, so where are we going to adjust? Now, team leaders, broker owners, agents, write your job description that the consumer reads. What's in it for them? What are your value propositions? I did the same thing at our team. I went up to the whiteboard and I said, and I think Reside, we did this with Reside. A lot of Reside members are ahead of this and being a leader at their team. Jessica Boswell, created a complete process around the buyer presentation and the buyer consultation, just like a listing.
Yeah.
Now I went up to the whiteboard and said the similar thing. I said, we are high ticket. We are high ticket sales. Selling real estate is high ticket. It's not low ticket. So think about all of the industries and services that are high ticket, right? Motel 6 versus Four Seasons, luxury handbags versus just a regular handbag, right? All the high ticket. And what's the experience like? And what's the service like? And what's the knowledge base like? And what are the expectations like when you're paying high ticket versus low ticket, right? And so they went to the whiteboard and said, okay, what are all of the values we provide to the buyer that they may not be aware of or are aware of? And let's write them down. What are all of our promises, right? Expertise, knowledge, local knowledge, relationships with other vendors, relationships with key players, right? Navigation of mortgage finances and how to save them money, right? What areas of was zoning, all these things, right? Plus opening up the homes, plus finding things off market, plus all of this stuff, right? So you go down and you're like, wow. And in fact, we have some documents that are like our promise script. This is what we promise buyers. And it's like 100 plus things.
Yeah.
Reviewing a title report, reviewing the CC&Rs, getting it, reviewing, walking you through the home inspection. There's a lot to it that the buyers just need to articulate it, not demonstrate it down line, but they need to articulate it up front.
Yeah.
That's the difference. It's like, you just can't wait and do it. You got to tell them about it up front so that they sign with you and want to see the value.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely important to stay ahead of it because, it was important for us to hop on with the Reside leadership and tell them, it's something we need to stay ahead of because a lot of companies probably haven't even had that conversation yet.
Or the agents are seeing, think about the opportunity. The agents are seeing the broker, owner, whoever it is, either ignore it, not understand it, or is sweating and freaking out.
Yeah.
And you ever seen a leader freaking out? That doesn't make you feel good about your situation.
No.
So you want to be a lighthouse in your marketplace. If you're talking about agent attraction, this is a great opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now we're going to be doing more of these emergency podcasts, news, regulate industry things. If you like it, comment below. We got lots of comments on the last one.
We have an exciting guest next week. Is it next week?
Yes.
Mortgage guest, which was going to be a big one.
We got some big players coming in that understand the industry at a high level, and you're not going to want to miss that. This is the Reside Platform Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe. We do these podcasts because we want to give back to the industry. We want to help you grow your business so that at one point, maybe you reach out to us and want to align with our platform so we can help you grow. Right? I mean, that's why we're doing this, right? We want to give you everything we know now so that you can get to the point where you're like, well, I want to work directly with Preston. Let's find out more about the Reside Platform Podcast. Check out the show notes. You can go to residediscover.com or resideplatform.com to learn more about what we do behind the scenes when we're not doing podcasts.
Exactly.
Awesome, Preston. All right. Talk to you soon, man.
See ya.